In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. We need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. Go to podsurvey.com/firstdegree and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way we can bring on advertisers that you won't want to skip. And once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/firstdegree. podsurvey.com/firstdegree. Thanks for your help. Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. And I really wanted to bring up the fact that every time we go to start recording the podcast, I mean, it takes us a long time to set up, get our drinks, do everything.
Eat first. We got to have our blood sugar regulated.
We're like, we have our nice little beers. We like chat a little bit. Billy says a few things. And then right before we go to put our headsets on, and Billy, without fail every time, starts a deep conversation.
Like, yeah, hey, I want some help analyzing this dream real quick. And it's like 8:15. We're like, let's be in bed by 10. And he's right as we're sliding our headsets on, our ears
are starting. He's like, you know what I wanted to do right now? Talk about my childhood trauma.
Yeah, I want to like really delve into this. Will you guys be here for me? We're like, yes, but like, not now.
Yeah.
Why do you do that?
Listen.
Second time today.
Listen, yes. I'm sorry I do this, but can we just talk about what happens when we die?
No.
Stop this madness, Billy.
Right away,
please. We're trying to finish the goddamn episode.
Yeah.
Okay, well, on that note, what is the dark day today?
All right, so.
You promised me good days.
I did promise you good days. Today is July 8th. And in 1947, you know what happened?
What happened?
The Roswell incident.
Ooh.
Now,
I don't know it. Spooky. I know there was a show on CW. Wasn't there a Roswell? Yes. Billy?
Give a little TLDR.
All right. So now there was supposedly a crash outside of Roswell, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And they said it was a flying saucer. And the Roswell Army Airfield said that they recovered a flying disc. They actually put out like a press release. And the Army, so then it's like flying disc. It's like, what the hell is that? The Army quickly said, no, it was a weather balloon.
Oh, of course. Classic.
Now,
classic mix up.
That gets buried because that's what happened.
Yeah.
Because there's no internet. That gets buried until the 70s when a retired lieutenant colonel first admits that, yeah, you know that weather balloon thing? That was all bullshit. Mm. So people think that that was the most, you know, credible instance of a UFO entering then actually being shot down in the United States.
Yeah. Where is it?
Roswell, New Mexico.
Where is it though? Where can I see it?
The actual. No, see, that's the thing.
I don't believe it.
I know. But you know,
I don't even believe things I can see, let alone things
I can't.
Well,
you know, they're supposed to be declassifying all of these UFO documents.
And do you know
last
why?
Last month, I don't know. They had 180 days, mm-hmm. and I don't know where the fuck they are.
Yeah. And do you know who's gonna save us from everything? Tom DeLonge.
Well, you know what is actually fucked up is. I was watching this UFO documentary with all these credible people on it. It was people in the Army and the Navy, like government officials, and they were all talking about their UFO experiences. I'm like, wow, this is pretty credible, because usually it's like some lady in Kansas on her farm, and you're like,
yeah, this is
for a guy in Sedona who's selling tickets to his house.
Yeah, I had a UFO experience with a man in Sedona that got recommended to me by a lady ganger, and I really trusted the experience, but. That's for another day. But this documentary, everybody was like really well respected. I was like, wow, you know, this is great. I've never seen anything like this. And they're like, and then there was one man that brought us all together. And then the thing goes up and it's fucking Tom DeLonge.
Where are you? Yeah, and I'm so sorry.
Oh, God,
they
really?
Play a clip from him like playing in Blink-182. And I'm like, you know what the messed up thing is? He's probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
he is so far ahead of everybody else, and he will be the person that saves us, or he'll be like the main communicator with the aliens when they come down to Earth, because nobody's going to believe anybody else, and he's really fighting the good fight for the alien. Listen,
Angels and Airways has some good
Honestly, we should listen to him. People that successful are on, they're smarter than us. There's a reason why they're that successful, and it's because he's an alien himself, so he knows what's going on. He's an Illuminati dude.
Okay. Oh my God, I just got invited to, this is
to Illuminati party.
Wow. No, do you guys want to hear, this is so off topic, but can I read you an email that I got today?
Yes, please. Yeah.
It says, for Jack Vanek only. It says, hello Jack, my name is Lauren and I am an ambassador with a private organization. Membership is through nomination exclusively, so someone from within must nominate you. With that said, you've been nominated by one of our members. I am checking to see if you've received the information they sent you.
Ooh.
Have you, Jacqueline?
I will have the information sent again now through a separate email. The information you receive is very self-explanatory, and because we are a private organization, it is for your eyes only, so please do not share email with anyone.
Except me.
Except the entire podcast.
The email
community
will be coming from, I'm not going to say it. If you don't see it, please search in your filtered files. Let me know as soon as possible if you do not see it. Let me know if you have any questions. Live well and prosper fairly.
Wow. Okay, first of all, you,
how
you,
ominous is, I'm like, it's a masonry
it's
something.
That or a sex club. Yeah. Both good. Yeah. Both great.
You know that something is good where it says, like, you know, where something's legit where it says, check your spam filter.
I know. Well, I did, and I didn't receive the information. Yeah. Like, do I reply to her and ask for it?
Yes.
Do I want, I want to know.
You have to know.
So I went to the website because it has, it was like blah, blah, blah at blahblahblah.com. And I'm like, it's definitely a, like a masonry type thing. But I'm like, they don't allow women in.
A lady mason?
But she was a lady. Her name was Lauren.
Lady mason.
So I'm
it
a lady
like
mason.
Sounds like some shit that fucking, what is her name? Jeffrey Epstein's yuppie?
Oh, Ghislaine.
Ghislaine. It sounds like a Ghislaine.
That obviously is something I do not want to be in.
Wormhole. Yeah, I know.
No, thank you.
Ghislaine wormhole. All right. So
anyways.
Let me bring this back.
I love this.
I'll give updates about my Illuminati
Everyone
membership.
Hold her accountable. We need updates.
Okay.
All right. July 8th.
Wait, before Billy continues, this is actually an episode themed with dating shows.
Yes.
Yes. I
from
think
what is now music? 90s, 80s, 90s, dating. And today.
Yes.
Wait, I saw a meme. Sorry, this is now off topic again. I saw a meme. They're like, they've got to stop with the 80s, 90s, and today. We're now 20 years into the
2000s. Now that's what I call music, 860.
But like 80, 90s, and today. Today is not.
No, we're 30 years out from that.
We are literally in the 20s right
we're
now.
We're in the 2020s.
No, we need
2000s,
2000s, 10s, and
now
today. 2000s.
Yeah. We're three generations behind. Anyways.
Oh my God.
Well, when we come back, we got some bitching to do.
About dating games. Dating shows.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
All right, welcome to On the Stand. This week, each of us are bringing a dating show, dating in general, adjacent topic to the stand. And then the other two will vote if it's guilty or not guilty at the end of the day. So I'm going to start it off because, I mean, I love a dating show. Alexis and I love a dating
show. Love them.
It's really the only reality TV that I watch. I'm not like a Housewives person. I'm a Bachelor.
That and True Crime.
Yes. I'm Love Island. Love Island just started back up.
Bachelor's
been going. Our girlfriend Afton is in Hawaii doing Ariel's makeup for Love Island.
So good. We're so excited.
So much fun. I wish it wasn't COVID because then I could go visit, but I can't. We love 90 Day Fiancé. We love Married at First Sight.
We also love The Circle, which isn't necessarily dating, but they parlay into it.
It's Chloe and Mitchell ended up like kissing.
I love that.
At the end of The Circle.
I love that. And also Too Hot to Handle. Like, I love them all.
I love a shitty dating show, but they're all great. I love them all today and I watch them all, but nothing will compare to the late 90s, early 2000s MTV dating shows. And that is what I'm putting on the stand today.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
So I'm talking, I mean, the original dating show is singled out. Jenny McCarthy, fucking amazing show.
I don't think I ever saw it. What's the premise?
You didn't?
No.
Okay. Yes.
So singled out, I mean, I think I have it. I haven't thought about singled out in so long, but they would each have like a single person come on, and then they would have the contestants that are going to come and try to date them. But she was just such a raunchy host. She was so fucking hot and sexy, and would like poke fun at the guys and make fun of the guys. So it was just like a really fun, just all over the place dating show. So we had singled out, and then Carmen Electra hosted it too.
Another hottie.
So. Mm-hmm.
Sexy. Singled out. My favorite, Next, where there was the bus.
Next was great.
And they'd come off the bus and they'd like have all these descriptions of people that like were so embarrassing and fucked up.
I loved Next.
There was Room Raiders.
Room Raiders was my favorite, but there was no way the producers didn't.
No, they planted
there
stuff.
There was no way that
I
was
I don't
real.
Know. People are disgusting, and they were all like college-aged kids.
Yeah, but would listen, you wash your sheets?
Listen, we know, first of all.
The black light was my favorite part of
that. Where they'd go in the black light.
Men don't wash their sheets. I'll tell you that right now.
You certainly don't.
I wash my sheets.
I lived with you for a month, and I lived with you for 6 weeks. You are the biggest slob I've ever met in my life.
I wash my sheets.
Our cleaning lady would be downstairs. She would be screaming, calling him a bastard. He wouldn't be home.
A bastard?
He'd be like, how does he? She'd come find me. She'd be like, how does he live like this? I'm like, what? She's like, his toilet's broken. I'm like,
how do you take a poop?
Well, Billy, how is your toilet? He would take the lid off the top and lift the chain to make his bathroom
work.
Yeah,
because I didn't want to bother anybody.
So do you not, when something goes wrong, like in your new house, do you just not fix it? Are you one of those people?
No. If it's my house, mm-hmm. I fix it. If it's something that's a temporary situation,
I'll deal with it.
Just let it be. Okay. Anyways, we're going far off topic. Room Raiders.
Yeah, sorry. Billy's a slob. That's why Billy knows men are
okay,
slobs.
Billy would be terrible. Yes. Yeah, I mean, honestly, that blacklight would probably pick up old stuff that you've washed out of your sheets.
No, yes. And listen, we know that, one of my favorite, Storage Wars was one of my favorite shows.
Okay.
They definitely planted stuff in that
not
show.
Real.
So, you know what? They start with something that's like, oh, this is good. And then after five episodes, they're like, we're not getting anything good. We got to plant stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They same thing
up,
with that
up
one.
The ante. Yeah. So there's Room Raiders. There was Date My Mom, where the guys would go out on a date with all the girls' moms. There was, what was this other one? I wrote them down. Parental Control.
Oh, that was great. Where they went out with their what about Date My Mom?
That's what I just said.
Right. That's the one I liked.
That was incredible.
Parental
right
Control,
there.
I think, is where the parents watched.
Yes.
No. Parental Control is where the girl had a boyfriend and the parents were like, no, I hate this boyfriend. I'm going to find a new guy for her to date. So they pair them up with a new guy and then they hope the girl dumps the guy. And then there was Dismissed where the girl went out on like a double date and then just like dismissed one guy at the end of it.
Oh my God.
But they were so perfect for the times. And I feel like since everything about like style and music and everything is kind of having a resurgence of the early 2000s. Why not the MTV reality dating shows?
You know what? I agree because MTV, listen, there's so many reboots I understand reboots. I do like new ideas, but when it comes to MTV, it was such a big deal for my generation. It was such a big deal for your generation. And MTV, the ball's in your court right now. Stop playing movies.
No.
And actually start this.
Do you know what MTV plays? I'm not kidding. 22 hours a day.
What?
Ridiculousness. If you go and you look at the MTV schedule for the next 24 hours, I bet you $100 at least half of the day is going to be Ridiculousness, which I love. I love Rob Dyrdek. Uh-huh. I love that show. It's actually a goal of mine to be a guest on it because they have very like C-list celebrity guests on it. And I'm like, maybe I could do it one day.
Yeah.
But they need something new. And Catfish. It's like
Catfish is good.
We need Next to come back. Yes. We need a new singled out with like a new sexy host on it. You know?
Hosted by Jack Vanek.
We're going to pitch that.
No, I'm not that kind of sexy.
Yeah, you are.
I would do it in a second. Actually, I would fucking love to host that
show. Okay, we're going to make this happen.
Yes.
Okay, so MTV reality dating or MTV dating shows, not guilty.
Not guilty.
Yeah.
Any charges acquitted / pay them a settlement.
Pay them a settlement.
They're due.
They should have been back years ago.
Yeah, I agree.
Bring them back. All right, Alexis, what are you doing?
All right, so I'm putting Bridesmaids on the stand.
Okay.
Because I don't want to be one.
Nope.
And I don't want one.
Nope.
I want my core group of friends to get ready with me. when I'm getting ready to get married, I think that's great. But I don't want to shame them by putting them in these like cotton candy colored dresses and making them be my minions and dressing all the same.
It's not even that. Some people get very ahead of themselves with the concept of a bridesmaid. I've seen my other podcast, Lady Gang, has a Facebook group, and I've seen a few posts in there talking about like a girl was getting married and she was talking about her brides, the maid of honor. She's like, why isn't she like dropping everything to help me with this and this and that? It's like, Your best friends at your wedding should be there to support you.
And if to have fun.
If you're an adult, we all have jobs and families and husbands and parents to like take care of.
Partners. Pets.
That it's, unless you're paying somebody money, they should not plan your wedding.
No, and they shouldn't drop everything. Like, your friends are there to tell you if your dress is cute. Your
and, like,
friends
are take there to the lipstick you, off your teeth.
Your friends are there to tell you, like, hey, how's this wedding vibe? Can you look at my Pinterest? How does this look?
Yes.
The same way your friends are there for you, like, when you're buying any dress. Like, I send Jack pictures all the time.
Yeah.
Be like, do you like this? Do I need this? That's the kind of shit.
But they should not be, like,
feeling the pressure of your wedding. That's not fun,
like,
for
running
them.
Your, like, wedding errands for you.
No. And if you have a friend who's super into it and type A and wants to, that's great. At their discretion.
Yes.
And it should be volunteered, and they should be forcing you to let them do it. Because you shouldn't expect any of that of your friends.
No.
And I've seen tons of posts in First Degree, in Lady Gang, all over Facebook, where people are like ending friendships over bridesmaid shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, aren't we there to celebrate love? Can we all get like, can we refocus on the real perspective here?
Yeah.
So I'm putting bridesmaids on the stand. I think they should be optional. And I think their participation should be optional. And I think their demand should be minimal.
And
they're
then,
there for friendship.
And also, every woman's body is very different.
Yes.
So to expect a group of women with different shapes and sizes and heights and boobs and butts to wear the same dress is a big ass.
Especially in like Pepto-Bismol pink.
Mm.
Like some people are totally insecure if they're not wearing black or like, you know what I mean? Like you can't put that, you shouldn't put that on your friends. If you do, you should talk to them individually and make sure they feel comfortable and okay. I know that these are like secret things people grapple with insecure-wise, you know? So I don't know. I think the stakes should be way lowered with bridesmaids. I'm saying bridesmaids, guilty.
Guilty. Billy, I know you have so many opinions. Do you want to like jump in here?
I love the movie. I thought it was fantastic.
It was a good movie.
It was a really good movie. But great. I
will
say, Billy's
going to be Jack's bridesmaid at
I will
wedding.
Totally be Jack's bridesmaid.
Will you?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Yes, absolutely. I'm totally
just
serious.
Just you, nobody else.
Yes. I mean, like, oh, that's
he's going to be the little baby
that's
ring
Billy.
Bearer.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
And he's going to sprinkle black rose petals behind
yes.
him.
Yes.
This is great.
Yes. And wear a cape.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Cape.
As so if I'm not wearing a cape right now. Yes. No,
guilty?
Not guilty. No.
Wait, no, it was guilty.
Wait, no, I'm sorry. Yes. Bride, yeah, it's too much pressure. You know what? Just
too much money, ugly dresses.
Yeah.
Guilty.
Unnecessary. Guilty AF.
All right. So now I'm going to go with something that's similar to that, which is the whole idea of the bachelor party.
Okay.
Now we've got
that sounds fun.
Yeah. So now the bachelor party, there is. It started off with like, oh, we're going to do a stag party and we're going to hire some sex workers, or we're going to hire some strippers,
dancers.
It has evolved. And while I'm totally all for that, it has evolved into doing sort of like a guys type of thing. And I think that it is, if it is tailored to the person, you know, then I think that it's a positive experience. And when I say tailored to a person, sort of like, all right, well, what is that person? What
like,
is that person like?
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, like what would that person want to do? Like, what would I want to do? Like at this point in my life, I'd want to go
read books alone,
solve a murder, play hockey, probably.
Really, solving a murder doesn't take 4 hours at a night.
You don't.
Party.
You don't know that. Okay.
I hang out with you. Too much.
You know what? Maybe my best men would actually get a murder that close to being solved, and it would just need one little thing.
I feel like a good,
and I would go there.
A good option for that would be like an escape room.
Yeah, and like you know,
best with real
men, Billy.
With real stakes.
With real stakes.
I have friends that are men.
You do, Jared?
Like two?
Yes, Jared.
And who else?
And my buddy Steve.
Sounds fake.
Sounds like a robust friendship
circle. And yes, and my son. And
oh, well, that's cute. That you don't need a lot of friends. I don't. That's
actually
a lie.
I prefer men without friends.
I just don't.
I don't want to be sucked into my like partner's fucking friend video game circle or like whatever hockey
well, if
circle.
If
whatever
they're a good partner, they should have hockey their video circle. Game circle.
Oh,
separate.
Wait, oh, that's right. I do have my hockey friends.
You okay. Don't, you anyways, don't, this you don't is want not a Billy friendship.
You don't want a part of any of those guys. But yeah, so I will say bachelor parties. I would say not guilty.
I mean, I love.
Wait, do you mean you like them or you don't like them?
I like them if they are done not in a traditional way, but done that's tailored
to the
person. So
you're talking about like the traditional bachelor party, going to a strip club, doing a bunch of
cocaine.
Yeah,
that's a little bit. Yeah, no. But
we're just not clear on what exactly you're putting.
But
on the
what
stand
I'm
right
what
now.
I'm saying is that I'm yeah, the traditional bachelor party of just it being all about drinking and women. Fun. No, but having something that's tailored to that person.
You want a bachelor party with a monocle. I see. Okay.
With a monocle.
Exactly. In a corn pipe.
All right, first of all, you're
Jack inspired that with her noise effect.
You're mixing metaphors there. Monocle is high class, corn pipe would be sort of a little bit more country like. So
that's sort of you.
Mm-hmm. Am I?
It's a highbrow liberal thing, Billy. I understand what he's saying. I don't think he really fleshed
it out. I did not articulate it
before he started talking.
No, because
it was really off the cuff.
Yeah.
It was because we did this podcast very off the cuff.
Billy, you're not that quick on your toes then.
No, yeah. I'm not.
Take an improv class. Okay?
Yeah, okay. It's
yes
also,
and.
Yeah, it's also
say.
95
yes
degrees
and.
In this room.
Billy, excuses. Improvers don't excuse.
Yeah.
They just said,
yes,
what
and.
Else do you need?
Yes. Not guilty. Gavel hit.
All right. Gavel hit.
Bachelor parties, not guilty.
Not yeah, guilty.
Not,
we
not,
love them.
Not guilty. And honestly, just tailor them to your person. That's what I'm saying. For you guys out there. And by the way, I will say this right now to everybody that's listening. We know that the majority of our listeners are female. Mm-hmm. You know what? Invite the guys. You know what? They might like it.
To the bachelorette party? What are you even saying?
To listening to this podcast.
Oh. I was thinking that too. I was like, Jared.
No context. It's your biggest flaw.
Yeah, invite. Yes. Yeah, let's do a big pivot and invite the men's in your life to listen to this podcast.
Yes.
They'll love it.
Why not?
Okay.
You know what? Co-listening. It might work. But you know what? When we come back, you know what we're going to do?
True Crime Rewind?
Yeah.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and The RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world, and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to True Crime Rewind. Since we are talking all things dating.
Oh my God, you fixed your mic.
Dating boy. Shows. Bachelor type things. We're going to go back to 1978 when really
Billy was only 38 years old.
I was 46 years old back then. And the only dating show that was out there was a show called The Dating Game. Mm. And it was hosted by a guy named Jim Lang. And in 1978, as we intersect with true crime, there was a person named Rodney Alcala that was a contestant on The Dating Game. Now, he was described as a photographer, a successful photographer.
Lies.
And apparently his father found him in the dark room at the age of 13.
Meaning?
That should, yes.
Is that like a...
Found him
it
in the
might
dark
be
room?
A little bit of a weird, yes. All right, so now...
Meaning, like masturbating?
Or... No. Deal with that what you will. He also likes to skydive and motorcycle. Now, we are going to play a little bit.
Wait, let's talk about real quick what he looks like. Doesn't he have like long hair?
Yes.
Wasn't he leaning into this hippie vibe?
Describe
All right,
him.
So now, Rodney Alcala, I'm gonna play you for him right now. Now, we're thinking 1978. Now, The Dating Game set was yellow, and there were these giant 1970s cartoonish flowers on the wall.
Right.
And what it would be is a woman would come out and there would be three men behind a curtain, and she would ask questions. And then based on those questions, she would pick who she wanted to go on a date with. Then the dating game would actually pay for them to go on a date. And it would be like a weekend in Catalina or something along those lines.
So I actually think that the dating game, they just...
Celebrity dating game.
Celebrity dating game.
But it's the same exact vibe. I was literally telling Billy about this the other day, where the theme in the visuals and like the branding is like the exact same.
It's all very retro. 70s. It's Zooey Deschanel, and then who's the old man?
A dude. I'm not sure, but they're doing the flowers thing. It's literally exact same as this.
Which is interesting that we're talking about this, because this literally came out like 2 weeks ago.
Listen, it was...
When I told Billy to do Rodney Alcala for this, I brought this exact thing up.
Yeah, interesting timing.
It was like, it was an iconic show, but it does have this dark history because of Rodney Alcala. And we will get who Rodney Alcala is. I know a lot of you are probably yelling at your MP3 player, as it were. But
your iPod player.
Your iPod mini. But
Zune.
What do you think of this guy? So we're going to introduce him right now, okay?
Number one, would you say hello to Cheryl, please? We're going to have a great time together, Cheryl. Okay, and here we go.
Bachelor number one.
Yes.
What's your best time?
The best time is at night, nighttime.
Why do you say that?
Because that's the only time there is.
The only time? What's wrong with morning, afternoon?
Well, they're okay, but nighttime's when it really gets good.
How ominous is that?
Well, what a strange... What a strange thing, you know? It's like nighttime's really where it's at. It's like,
or
why?
That's the only time there is.
It's like, except if you have a job. This is why I'd rule him out immediately. I'd be like, dude, homie doesn't have a job.
I mean,
he
that
sleeps
would be,
till noon.
That would be a backup question. It's, well, like, what are you doing today?
There is no other time. It's like, okay, except for the only time the bank is open.
All right, so describe him.
I mean, okay, so he's got this like long 70s, almost like a Farrah Fawcett type of a hairdo.
Like like Barry Gibb almost, yeah.
Whoever that is, yeah. Dark brown hair.
I'm trying to imagine him with
Bee Gees, yes, very Bee Gees.
I'm trying to imagine him with a contemporary haircut, and I'm you guys might be really mad at me. I'm getting like a Mark Consuelos vibe if he had a contemporary haircut.
Mark Consuelos is so much hotter.
Small, but yeah. He's got like a, what is the guy? George Zimmerman.
He's got like a hooded eye. Like he's got that psychopath eye that there's like nothing behind it.
One is smaller than the other.
Yeah. There's something creepy about him, but he's handsome.
He's not unattractive.
He's not unattractive.
All right. And we will
And honestly, sorry, a long hair really fools me.
Yeah.
You throw a long hair on a man and any man's attractive
to me.
Well,
they look like Jesus. Yes. Yes. So, yeah.
And we will say this is that, yes, this is sounding creepy, but if you watch, you know, this is a lot of times we talk about this and me and Alexis talk about this a lot where you take something out of context.
Yes.
If you watch this in context of 50 other episodes of Dating Game, there's a lot of really creepy guys.
Well, yeah. Like everything's an innuendo on the Dating Game. Like everything is over the top and like sexually charged.
Yes. Okay. All right. So we're going to keep going.
I'm a drama teacher and I'm going to audition each of you for my private class. Bachelor number one. You're a dirty old man. Take it.
Come on over here.
All right, so we got a lot to unpack there. I mean, she has a weird like fantasy that she's projecting onto Bachelor number one slash Rodney Alcala. Like, I'm a drama teacher and you're a dirty old man slash that's, daddy.
We need to stop and think about that for a second.
She has like a daddy thing, maybe.
I don't know. And she was very into the grunting.
She liked the grunting. He might have,
He fucking slummed it. He could have been like, where's my Pepcid AC? I haven't had my testicles groped for tumors in a while.
My sciatica is really flaring up.
Where's my tennis ball to put at the end of my cane? Like, there's so many things he could have done, and he just was like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, it was very the performance was lackluster, let's be honest.
Yeah, like, let's talk about how the fact he for sure is a hemorrhoid at that age. So, like, he was lazy, and she didn't call him out on it. So
she was vibing. They were doing like a little.
They were vibing. There was something going on there.
She was willing to take the bare minimum from a man, and that's what I learned from that.
Okay, all right, we're gonna keep going. Okay.
Bachelor number one, I am serving you for dinner. Oh. What are you called, and what do you look like?
I'm called the banana. And I look really good.
Can you be a little more descriptive?
Peel me.
Later, Bachelor One. Later.
Okay, not circumcised, right? Like, am I the only one thinking that? Or no?
I'm called the banana? That is not where I expected that to go, like, whatsoever.
No. And peel me? Does that mean, like, your body or your mind?
All right, we're gonna keep going now.
No,
but
you guys have to say something. I can't be the only one.
No, you're the only one.
I don't even remember what the question was because the answer was too jarring for me.
I'm serving you for dinner. What are you?
Okay, first of all, let's talk about how bizarre that answer is.
What a strange question.
I'm serving you for. So she's telling to describe himself as a food.
Wait, what would either of you say?
That I would be the food?
What food
are
you?
That's just a really weird question.
Come on. What are you? Let's do it.
I don't know. I'm put on the spot. It makes me feel uncomfortable, the question. I don't like it.
You're a little hot dog.
Like a little baked potato.
Yeah. What are you, Billy? I'm a chicken nugget.
Oh, a chicken nugget's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Or chicken tendy.
Billy would
I'm
be
tall. I'm a long tendy.
Billy's a burnt string bean.
Oh my God. You're a string bean fresh out of the air fryer.
No.
Yeah. Burnt. Burnt for too long in the oven.
It's dark. You're a string bean on a meat air fryer setting.
No. No.
Yes. What do you think
then?
No,
I'm just some sort of a flank steak.
Are you a hot
soba noodle?
A steak?
Yeah.
You're a hot dog.
The death and sadness that's there.
No, he's a long, skinny thing, like a Loomer French fry.
Loomer.
Do you know that's what they call the extra long French fries from McDonald's?
You're
Loomer.
You're a big broccolini stock.
You know what?
Big fluffy hair.
You know what? I'll say this right now.
What?
This is the meanest you guys have ever been to me.
We're just trying to describe you. It was Alexis's fault because I forgot the question because, again, the answer was jarring. And
I called myself a chicken nugget. That's not like
That's
kind.
Cute.
I'm yes, not like, everybody loves I'm a chicken little nuggets. Sushi. Haven't I'm not like seen, a little sushi. I'm a chicken
you've
nugget.
Never, you've never seen the chicken nuggets that have been animated by McDonald's?
They're
adorable.
They're bulbous.
No, they're not. They're cute.
Adorable.
Okay, we got to keep moving.
All right, here we go. Okay.
Welcome back to the dating game. And Cheryl, we have reached the moment of truth, as we call it. You heard from the bachelors. You got some great dramatic presentations, some good answers. But now I'm going to ask you a question. Will that date be bachelor number one, bachelor number two, or bachelor number three? Who gets the dates?
Well, I like bananas, so I'll take one.
Number one, bachelor number one. All right. Well, there they go. However, you did leave one remaining, and this is your date, and I want to tell you something about him, Cheryl. He's a skydiver, so he's got a lot of nerve. He's into motorcycling. He's also a fine photographer. Say hello to Rodney Alcala. Rodney, come on, say hello. Congratulations, Rod. You did it with the one answer. Well, as far as I can see, Cheryl and Rodney, it looks like the two of you may be involved in some sort of racket. So we're going to have you take to the court. Oh, first, you'll receive tennis lessons from expert Naomi Besa of the famous Kirkwood Tennis Club. That starts. And you'll soon be acing everyone off the courts. And to make sure you both look as professional as you'll become, complete tennis outfits will be provided by Bill Darling's Tennis Shop.
Okay, so they never ended up going on a date, correct?
No, first, let's He won.
Yes.
So he wins. She picks him.
Because she likes bananas.
Because she likes bananas.
Again, bizarre.
Explain, we always talk about, intuition here. Mm. What was her face like when he walked around? Because what happens is that you pick your guy, the two guys leave, and then you pick the guy comes around. And you see him for the first time.
Right.
She sees him for the first time. What is she? What is her reaction?
I mean, she doesn't look thrilled.
No, she looks very uncomfortable. She looks beholden to the situation.
And they give a smooch on the lips, which
she looks very uncomfortable with.
Which, by the way, back in the late 70s, if you ever watched Family Feud, mm-hmm. with the host was Richard Dawson at the time, he would kiss every female contestant on the lips.
Wait,
it was
insane.
Is that
insane. The creepy guy that used to like make kids uncomfortable?
Hello, love. No, he was kind of British, and this is the guy, and he would kiss people.
British
people. People would kissing on the lips was a thing back then.
It's fucked up.
Yeah,
not into it.
No,
it was the 70s. There was a lot
fucked
going
up.
On. All right, so they're standing next to each other. They get announced what their date is going to be, and their date is going to be that they're going to play tennis, mm-hmm. and then they're going to get a tennis outfit at a place on Ventura Boulevard in Studio City, which is like right around the corner here.
Right.
Now, is that a good date?
No, I want darkness and alcohol.
Oh my God! The last time I played tennis, I threw my shoulder out, and it was fucked up for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So I.
No, you don't. You want a date? I'm sorry. In modern times.
No, you need a drinks.
A dark bar.
Only. No
at
dinner.
Night.
At night. A mm-hmm. quick in, a quick out.
So if you need can opt in or out, yeah.
If you need an exit strategy, it's very easy. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be stuck with somebody for longer than you need to be.
Yeah, it's like...
You need to start the date. Be like, 30 minutes. It'll be a 30-minute date, and then you can extend if you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other than that, definitely not tennis.
No.
So, Jack, as you said... She didn't go on the date with him.
No.
Because she thought that he was creepy.
That was her reasoning. She said that she thought he was creepy.
She thought
love her gut instinct.
She really did have intuition.
She thought he was creepy. Now, here's the thing. Is that Alcala actually committed his first known crime in 1968.
Mm-hmm. Before this.
This is 1978. Now.
Oh, wow.
He probably committed several, actually.
Yeah.
A ton.
Dude, that's terrifying.
In 1968, somebody saw him pulling an 8-year-old girl into his apartment.
Jesus.
And he rapes her and beats her with a steel bar. And then he flees the apartment.
Did she survive?
She did survive.
Thank God.
Wait, do they not do background checks on the show?
That's what we're going to talk about, is that he had done this a ton of times before this.
And he was arrested.
What are the... Yes. What are the background checks that are being done on this freaking show?
Well, because it's the '70s, guys. They didn't have the internet.
Because we know the background checks that are done on...
Now, like we've thorough. Done show,
yeah, they're incredibly
but
thorough.
But they didn't have sometimes. Digitalized files or databases. They didn't have... Any
they
of that.
Couldn't figure out that this guy got arrested for raping a child.
There was, it depends insane. On what state it happened.
Insane.
It really depends. Nothing.
He
was
on the 10 most wanted list on the FBI
before
in
1971. This.
Before this, in 1971.
That's disgusting.
Oh, my God.
And it then, like, so... you know, the Booker is like, yeah, he looks good.
No, honestly, like, I'm sorry. When it's women, I'm actually not surprised because it's like women's safety. They're not as fucking thorough. Like, I'm sorry. And he was, like, handsome enough. Like, it was like, yeah. Oh, he's a good contestant because he's probably a narcissist. He probably, like, did the dance and was a puppet. Sure. And they're like, this is too good TV to pass up. But I'm not surprised.
It just blows my mind. It'd be one thing if it was, like, one small crime.
Yeah.
Like, a whatever.
No, this but was like multiple stuff over and over and over again.
It's and shameful. On that show. Shameful.
Yes.
That's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So that is the story of Rodney Alcala and The Dating Game, which apparently is coming back. So who knows who's going to be on the new Dating Game? Mm.
Celebrity Dating Game. Hopefully. So we know it's going to be at least D-list celebrities.
Uh-huh. And hopefully they've gotten their background checks figured out by now.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they have. Well, in the meantime.
In the meantime, you know what we're going to do? We're going to hear from you people.
You people.
And we're going to hear the worst things.
They're human
that you've
beings,
done.
Billy.
They are
That's
human
a very
beings.
Seinfeld.
You people.
Who are you people? And we're going to hear about the worst things that you've ever done.
Goodbye.
As you tell us to.
And it's going to be dating stuff because yeah. That's the theme.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hi. Okay. Bit nervous. Here's my story. Worst thing I've ever done. All right. So I was dating this guy. He was so hot, but really, really, really dumb. I mean, like a whole nother level of dumb. You would say like the word expectation and he would be like, what does that mean? But he was really hot and he was a firefighter. So I dated him anyway. So I'm dating this guy and my best friend and I are at his house at a party. And somebody offers us $20. My best friend and I are thinking beer money, right? So they offer us $20 if we, like, kiss, like, open mouth. So my best friend and I, like, kind of, like, look at each other. We were actually living together at the time. And we just kind of shrug our shoulders and say, okay, so we kiss. No big deal, right? My boyfriend broke up with me the next morning because he had an issue with the fact that I was willing to openly kiss a female. So, there you have it. But it gets better because a couple of weeks later, I get a phone call from his roommate that says he's out of town. We're having a party. Do you want to come over? And I'm like, sure, yeah, no problem. I only live like 10 minutes away. So, I went ahead and went to the party and ended up hooking up with his brother. Yes, you heard me correctly. His brother. So, here's how I got back at the firefighter. I gave his brother a blowjob and then went and brushed my teeth with his toothbrush. So there, that's the worst thing I've ever done to another person. But get this. So he ends up later on getting married, right? And he marries this wonderful woman, he thinks. And she leaves him for another woman. So I guess that's like just icing on the cake, right? Anyways, so that's the worst thing I've ever done. I gave my ex-boyfriend's brother a blowjob and used his toothbrush to get the pubic hairs out of my mouth. There you have it.
This might be the favorite one. Okay, Spider-Man's a close second.
Yeah.
Or tied. But like, this is one of my favorites you've had so far.
I love... when, I mean, the story is great, you know, the cadence is
execution.
Good.
Yes.
And then there's just the zinger at the
end.
Yes. Like, that's what I love about this story.
No,
sucker
this is
punch because, right at the end.
Listen, you didn't tell us about the pubic hairs before.
No.
But you really just gave it to us at the end.
No, the thing that I'm thinking right now is merch. I'm just thinking of a t-shirt with,
no.
a, with
a toothbrush with that a, has hairs
no,
in
no,
it.
No, just with a toothbrush because people
Sweetie,
would know. And just
no. I'm thinking about this brother's Thanksgiving. I'm thinking about the family, like, I'm thinking about the family dynamic here. Like, me, I'm like Freud. I'm like, these brothers, like, this sounds interesting. Like, why would this brother, you know, mm-hmm. I love this for you. And
I have to go back to the beginning of the story when she was like, I dated this guy. He was so hot. So dumb. But I dated him anyways. And I'm like, girl, I get it.
Men do it all the time.
Been there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Women
I mean,
do it
me.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we've all been there. They're not all keepers, ladies.
Listen, if they're very dumb, they're not a keeper.
No.
And if they're hot, they're
hot,
a keeper.
Too hot, not a keeper.
Too hot's not a keeper if they're very smart, because too hot is going to cheat on you.
Absolutely.
Anyways.
Anyways. Yeah, if they look like fucking...
Chris Hemsworth.
Or a Barbie man, they're going to cheat on you. They have too many options.
Yeah.
So hot and dumb is an excellent fling.
It's like the, isn't there that scale on How I Met Your Mother? It's like the hot and crazy scale.
Yes.
It's the hot and cheater scale.
We have our own scale, which we won't share here.
It's a trifecta. Anyways, so I love this story. This was like, I guess the ultimate get back.
Well, you know, no. What I love about it, it's a victimless crime. I'm sorry, like, the brother's dick juice.
Ew.
Or whatever. Saliva. I don't know.
Whatever.
Dick juice? You mean cum?
We're assuming... Okay, first of all, who knows if he...
sorry. Dick saliva?
I meant, like... your euphemisms are not really landing.
I think we need a human anatomy course.
What I meant is that... Using the brother's dick mouth against a brother's toothbrush. They're from the same womb. I don't think it's that blast. I think it's a victimless crime. It's a crime for you because it gives you validation, but no one gets hurt.
It's the same.
Unless the brother has an open sore.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, it's the same. Didn't we have a worst thing I've ever done similar to this about the, it was in the butt crack. The toothbrush and the butt crack.
Yes.
Recently.
Love this. Mm-hmm.
So now.
This is great revenge.
I would like to know what more orifices put the toothbrush in.
That's what I'm thinking. There's the toothbrush is definitely a
that's
theme.
Like a quintessential revenge device, isn't it? Don't a lot of people, but the toothbrush in the toilet. That used to be the
killing
old thing.
Time. Yes.
And
remember in Seinfeld? Remember when she's brushing the teeth?
Oh, yeah.
Then he's like, have a nice life.
No, it's true because it's. I mean, you're shoving it in your mouth all
also,
the time.
Also, the dumb guy, you can't be dumb and close-minded. Like, he broke up with you because you mm-hmm. kissed a girl for money? That seems like a legitimate way to earn $20.
I mean, his karma really bit him in the ass when his wife left him for another woman, so he got his.
Honestly, women are beautiful creatures, and they're better than men.
They
so
are.
It's
I mean,
not a
honestly,
shock when they're left yep. for women.
And we could live on without them.
We have so much fun together. I'm sorry, Billy. Before you got here, me and Jack were bearing our souls. And then you came and it stopped.
And then it stopped.
And then now we had to do this thing
yeah.
called work.
Yeah, then we had to work. For.
Jack was like talking me off a ledge.
Aww.
Yeah. That's what friends do.
That's
anyways,
what friends do. We were bonding.
That's another tangent we went on.
Anyways.
Okay.
I love this episode.
This
is
our
truth.
This is it right
there.
Are
we doing another one or are we good?
I think we're good.
We're good?
Yeah, we have a long boy good. On our hands.
All right, Alexis. Well, then we just have
Let's
to
do it up.
Send it off with a Costanza stanza.
Okay, so this is a Bachelor-inspired
Oh my
Costanza
God,
stanza.
Ooh, all right.
So it's titled, George as a Bachelor Contestant. There's a pretty woman who's out of my league. She's got a rose in her hands and I'm very intrigued. There's a doctor here. A pro athlete there. There's all 6'4 with a full head of hair.
Oh my God.
I once touched a rose and is pricked on the thorn. If I lose, I'll be bitter. A man once again scorned.
Oh. That's kind of sad.
That's kind of sad.
He brings it on himself.
He does.
He's a perpetual liar and a cheat. And he killed Susan.
He didn't kill Susan.
Google it.
Okay, we gotta leave.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.